Start recording.
Hi, it's Diane, and it is Thursday, May 12th, 8 o'clock at night. We are going to talk about non-judgment today, and I'm here so far with Dawn. And so why don't we jump in? Why don't you check in, Dawn? How have things been going since the last time we talked?
We had a couple of good days with him getting out, up and out of the house on time. And then also things around the house, even though he's been busy, like studying for AP exams and doing other things for school, he's actually been conscious enough to say, okay, I'm going to unload the dishwasher for you, or, you know, I'm going to clean up the computer room and vacuum the floor, because I've been getting on his case about playing video games. That's what he does when he wants to take a break. He used to play video games, and the first rule is you don't play a video game unless your room is clean or the computer room is clean. He's been totally ignoring it. So finally this week he decided to do something that he said will make me happy, and he cleaned up the computer room.
So what do you think is different?
I don't know. I'm not sure if it's he senses my frustration with his not following the rules, or I'm harping on him to clean up after himself because in the fall he'll have a roommate, and I keep telling him, you have to clean up after yourself. You will be living with someone else, and it may become an issue that you're not, you know, that you're a tad bit of a slob. So I'm not really sure what it is. But
yeah, well, and so I mean, I guess the thing that kind of pops into my head that may or may not apply is, you know, every year, and you started this program a while ago, you know, every year our kids get a year more mature, and so you never know when there's going to be a level of maturity and you're going to see them pop up and go, oh, I really do prefer the room to look nice, or I really do. Or it was Mother's Day last week, and who knows, maybe it was something that he was thinking about doing something nice for you. But it's nice to celebrate regardless of kind of the why, but at the same time, it's fun to be curious and try to figure out, you know, is there something that we can learn from this, or, you know, you can use to kind of help him with his momentum and his roommate and that sort of stuff moving forward.
Yeah.
Where would it be helpful for you to take aim tonight?
Reducing frustration during conversations with him. I'm not sure if
frustration,
it's
yours or his?
Both.
Okay.
Because I'll ask him what I think is a simple question, and then he'll answer it, and I'm thinking he's not answering the question that I'm asking, and I get frustrated, and he gets frustrated, and then one of us, and sometimes both of us, just want to shut down and say, you know, forget it, I don't talk about it anymore.
Okay.
So,
well, and it's hard because when you're trying to communicate clearly and then all of a sudden you have a what appears to be a miscommunication, you're not sure where it comes from, it can be irritating and frustrating because you feel like maybe he's not listening or maybe I'm not communicating clearly. Get curious for a second, Dawn. What do you think, is there a pattern that you would highlight, or is there a particular situation we could use as an example to kind of dig in a little bit?
Well, it seems to me I ask a question, and I use specific words. And then when he answers it and he's not giving me the answer, I think that makes sense or applies to the question that I ask, I will repeat the question, and he'll say, well, that's not what you said. That's what happened today. I used a specific phrase. I said, for your assignment for biology, how many sections are left for this project? And I use the word sections. And he says, no, you didn't. You just said, what do I have to turn in? And I know that's not what I asked him. So I don't know if it's – he just seems like I say one thing and he hears something totally different. And I try to use specific words, and I'll repeat back to him what I said, and he will say, well, it's not what you said.
So what do you think is really going on?
I think he's just not hearing the question. I think
and the thing that kind of popped into my head, so he's not hearing the question, or he just wants to be done talking instead. He wants to, he just kind of says whatever he thinks, you know, he does, he's kind of half listening, or he kind of just responds mm-hmm. to his first answer. And then when you come back, he's pointing the finger or something like that, right? So is he getting triggered, or is he already on edge? Is he fully engaged in the conversation? Where would you say he is?
He's usually engaged in the conversation. And I try to pick up on things that he said and use those same words. Because last week there was a conversation and he said, I swore I heard him say he was behind because he missed 3 days of school because he was sick. And then he had an AP exam last week, so he missed his regular classes. Then he had an AP exam on Monday, so he missed those regular classes. And I swear I heard him say he felt like he was behind. And so then when I asked him, well, you said you felt like, well, you're behind. Did you get caught up? He goes, I never said that. And then I said, well, I thought you said you felt like you were behind because you missed. He goes, no, I didn't say that. And it's almost to the point where now, and I've done this in the past where I would record our conversations so that there was no misunderstanding. And I'm getting to the point where we may have to do that again, because either he's not remembering what he said, or I'm not understanding what he said, or a combination of both. Now, granted, I had told him before that my memory seems to be not as good as it used to be, and I will forget certain things. And he'll say, well, I said so-and-so, don't you remember? And I will say, no, honestly, I know you told me, but I forgot. But there are certain points where I know exactly what I said, and he will turn it around saying, no, that's not what you told me.
Okay. So can I poke at this a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Because people have miscommunications all the time, right? You know, you say something, somebody misheard you, you just repeat yourself and you move forward, or, you know, vice versa. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like there's something a little bit more going on here. What is it about you that bugs? What is it about the situation that bugs you the most?
Probably the fact that we both get frustrated and just that we don't want to talk about whatever the issue is. And mostly
so,
him.
So he gets frustrated, and then when he's frustrated, it makes you frustrated, and then you both kind of want to just throw in the towel.
Yes, because I do the same thing with my husband, where I just want to be persistent and get my point across. And I know it's sometimes it's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is just let it go. But
yeah.
I forget.
Well, and so the topic. So let's introduce the topic here a little bit. Did you read the section in the supplement about non-judgment today?
Judgment.
So
mm-hmm.
I mean, this idea of judgment, non-judgment. You know, it's kind of like treating things. Not as being bad, not as being good, but just from a more of a neutral perspective, in order to kind of to continue to manage our triggers, to stay calm, to kind of really just allow the situation to be as it is, as opposed to reacting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I'm curious, you know, you're describing a dynamic. He gets triggered, you get triggered. You know, it's kind of like where is the place where non-judgment could lend a hand and the dynamic between you and your son?
Probably the whole fault of, I know that's what I said, and he's saying that's not what you said, and I'm judging him thinking he's just not listening. Or he's scrambling in his brain what he thought I said, and it comes out different. It goes in as pink and comes out as blue. You know,
and
now that I think about it, I did a thing at church with this group, and there was a thing about marriage, about pink and blue, you know, the way women interpret things and the way men interpret things. And the whole what a woman says is one thing, but what a guy hears is something different. And I don't know if that dynamic may be applicable to him as a male and me as a female, not just, you know, a husband and wife, but it could be just male, female, on top of the ADD, non-ADD brain.
Yeah. Well, and it could be ADD, it could be anything. Yeah, so what I heard you say is that, and I just read an article about this, about when you're having a discussion with somebody, you know, the idea of reporting back what you hear before moving on to your own perspective. So, you know, I think the word is reflective listening. I don't know if you've heard that term before. Yeah, where you take the time to say, I hear you saying da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, is that right? And then you move on, you know. And so that's kind of one tool that kind of comes to mind. The other thing that kind of comes to mind as you're saying that is we have like an unspoken rule in our house, and I don't remember when it started, but it's you don't argue with somebody about what they said.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't, you can't win, right? Because you're not going to remember it. You're going to remember it your way. They're going to remember it their way.
Yep.
But they said it. They said it, you know. So it doesn't matter what you think they said. Trying to tell somebody they didn't say something that they did say or that they said something that they didn't say. I mean, it's just, it feels like almost like a no-win situation. So there's a couple of things here. Is you've got the male-female thing possibly here. You've got the idea of making sure that you're both hearing, feeling heard and validated. And then the idea of, you know, kind of what's really going on with the arguing. What stands out for you the most of those things or maybe something else?
The whole, what you said, the rule about arguing over what somebody said or didn't say.
Yeah.
Because.
What's important? What's important to you about that argument? What's your investment in that argument?
You mean the specific example that I gave?
Anytime you kind of feel the gloves come off, and you're arguing with your kid.
Usually it's about school stuff, so it's usually about what assignment he has and the way he's tackling the assignment.
I'm asking a different question. So when it gets to the point of from discussion to argument, is it about being right? Is it about him not questioning your authority? Is it about you not telling him what to do? I mean, so it's kind of like, I guess the question I'm asking is, what's your triggers and what are his triggers underneath that?
Being right or being understood, between those two, being right. I don't have a problem with him saying, I don't think he doesn't question my authority, and he's not rebellious or anything like that. It's just the idea of trying to understand what the situation is. So, and I just end up pressing the point by repeating myself, and it which is useless. So between being right and being understood, and because I'll keep saying the same thing out over and over again, wanting him to understand, he'll just give me okay. Or sometimes I can tell by his intonation that he's just saying something so that I'll shut up. He's tired listening to me.
Well, and I think, so that's the thing, is that check yourself. And when you get into those situations, if you feel like it's, you know, there's a part of you that wants to be right and wants to feel understood and validated. And that's a pretty normal reaction. And if you don't feel that way, how likely are you to get triggered?
I probably wouldn't.
So if you're in a situation and he's arguing with you about what you said, it doesn't trigger you?
No. Oh, what you mean, the back and forth? Him coming back at me?
Yep.
No, that doesn't... That's not the trigger. The trigger is I don't understand why he didn't hear exactly what I said. If that makes sense.
So
if he, if he would just rephrase it, maybe if we did the reflective thing instead of him saying, well, that's not what you said. You can just say, he can just say, well, what I think you said was, or is this what you mean? I'm not.
I think the question is Is it about managing the emotions in the moment? Is it about coaching him to handle the situation differently when you don't agree? Or is it something else?
Handling a situation when we don't agree.
Okay. So you were going to have a conversation with him about how to handle situations when you don't agree. How would you start it?
Good question. I don't know.
Well, think about it for a minute.
So,
what would your main goal be? Go ahead.
For us to not just shut down when we both get frustrated.
Okay. So your main goal is for you both to not get shut down when you get frustrated. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't, if so, there's two in the game, right? So if you don't shut down, does he shut down? And if he doesn't shut down, do you shut down? I mean, I guess the question is there a way to stop the hot mess?
Yeah, there would be. And it would probably start with me not getting frustrated because I think that usually, because I know he'll say, I don't understand why you're getting frustrated. So I'm usually the one that gets frustrated first. And he'll say, I don't understand why you're getting frustrated.
So from a judgment perspective, so what's your judgment of the situation in that moment?
My judgment is usually that my thinking that he's just not, that he's jumbling everything in his head of what I say.
Right, so he's not listening, he's flipping it around, he's playing a game with me. There's some kind of judgment that you're making of the situation.
Yes, it's the scrambling stuff up. I don't think he's just like, he doesn't do it on purpose.
But it's making you frustrated. So I guess my gut is telling me it has something, Dawn, to do with this thing about this value of needing to feel understood. Is that possible?
Yes.
So if somebody, if you and I were in a discussion and you kept telling me something and I was like, is this true? And you're like, no, Diane, that's really not what I'm talking about. Would it be a reflection on you, a reflection on me, or just the reality of the situation?
Probably just the reality of the situation.
Okay. So what's different when it's your son?
Oh. I don't know. I guess because I'm coming from a point of trying to help him or understand what's going on.
And you want it to be easy? And if you feel like if he's resisting, then it doesn't feel easy? Is that what I'm getting?
Well, sometimes, yes. Because I'm trying to get him to use the experience of someone who's lived, 30 years longer than he has, to realize that sometimes he makes things more difficult than they have to be, or he worries more about things.
You want him to learn from your experience.
Yes.
And so if he doesn't understand you, or he's flipping it around or turning it around in his head, it's frustrating because you really want to help them, and it feels almost disempowering when you can't.
Yeah.
So if you're going to treat this from a neutral perspective, because that's really the non-judgment. So it's like here you are on the face of it. You're saying something. Your son's not understanding. He's repeating something back that's not quite fitting.
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to treat that from a neutral perspective, what would you say is going on?
I'm probably not wording the questions in a way that's clear.
So your assumption is that if he doesn't understand it, it's because you haven't told him, you haven't said it right.
In some cases, yes.
Well, and that's a logical conclusion. So, and so, are you willing to consider that that's a judgment as well?
Yes.
It feels like it's kind of like you're looking for a reason in this situation. So it's Go ahead.
Yeah, because I was trying to figure out when, because it's happened so often in the last few weeks, I was trying to figure out if it's something that I'm doing as far as how I word the questions, or if it's the way he interprets the question because of,
let's just brainstorm a second, Don. Yep. So let's list all the things that it could be. So it could be that you're not communicating clearly, right?
Mm-hmm.
What else could it be? You said brain chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
It could be that he just doesn't want to talk about whatever subject it is.
So he's avoiding it. Okay. He could be distracted. What else?
And sometimes he's tired. I know today he was probably tired.
Okay, so he could be tired. What else?
Those are the only things I can think of.
He could be trying to be snarky with you, right? So you could have an attitude. That may not be likely, but is that possible?
Yeah, it's not likely. Possible, okay. But not likely.
Okay, but we're brainstorming here. So we wrote down, you could not be communicating clearly. It could be something to do with his brain chemistry. He could be distracted. He could be avoiding the conversation. He could be tired. He'd be giving you an attitude. Anything else you would add to that list?
I can't think of anything else.
Okay. So if you were going to see this as completely neutral, it just is a reality. There's no good or bad. There's no needing to understand why it's happening other than to maybe figure out how to avoid it in the future. But I think that a lot of times when we try to avoid something in the future, we judge and we say, oh, I must be speaking incorrectly or he must be listening correctly. And it's almost like we need to find the reason in order to feel like we can change the situation. What if all of those reasons were true? And not just one of them. What would be different?
I don't know. Because if they were all true, then there really wouldn't be one way to solve the problem.
So what would you do in that instance when there wasn't one way, when there wasn't a clear way to solve the problem?
My first response reaction would be just not to ask him any questions. to ask him any questions anymore.
Well, that's really interesting. So kind of throw in the towel and go, well, he's not going to understand me. I guess I won't bother anyway. Interesting. Does that surprise you to hear you say that?
No, it doesn't.
No.
Because I've gotten frustrated with other things and to the point where I just give up.
Well, and that's pretty normal because it's like, you know, if we don't feel like we have any control, we can't change the situation, we kind of just throw in the towel. And it's a pretty normal reaction. What could you do instead?
I'd probably initiate a conversation with him around our problems with communication and find out maybe from his perspective what may help him.
Okay.
When we have conversations.
You could go back and figure out what might be possible to do, right? Could you are you willing to hear another perspective?
Sure.
What if it just wasn't the right time for him to hear it?
True. Sometimes that's probably true. And I've been trying to.
What would it take to trust that if he needed to hear it, he would hear it?
Probably have a conversation. Probably have the conversation at a different time of day. I mean, and there's specific times where I do avoid asking him. If he's driving, I won't ask him any questions if he's driving.
Mm-hmm.
So I avoid that. And maybe it was because it was after the day he had at school, on top of the fact that he had this project that he needs to finish, that he feels like he needs to finish it tonight so he could turn it in tomorrow because he won't be in school on Tuesday, which is what precipitated the whole thing. So maybe I just need to pick a different time and think about his frame of mind and how much sleep he has had, whether or not he's hungry, whether or not he has a lot to do when he gets home.
So how does that feel? Instead of judging it as something that you're doing wrong or that he's doing wrong, how does it shift it for you to just see that maybe this isn't the right time?
Yeah. That probably is the best thing because I've noticed that when he's driving, it's not a good time to ask him questions, you know, at least school-related. I can ask him about friends and things like that or music and entertainment, world events. But if I ask him something about school, that's a question that's reserved for when he's not behind the wheel.
Yeah, yeah. Because here's the thing, I mean, it's like if you can approach it like a computer, you know, without judgment, without the interpretation, without the going, oh my gosh, I've done something wrong, or oh my gosh, he's doing something wrong, and you're not catastrophizing here, I'm over exaggerating a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but if you're looking at it as just this is the reality of what's going right on right now, we're having a miscommunication. Do I have to fix it? Do I have to change it? Or can I just let it be? And I think that's true with a lot of situations we get into. It's like we've got to change it. We've got to fix it. It can't be happening instead of just saying, wow, this is the reality right now.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that feel as a good place to stop?
That works.
Okay. So tell me what stands out for you the most in our conversation tonight.
That I need to realize that it doesn't necessarily have to be that I'm doing something wrong or that he's doing something wrong. It's just could be the timing of when we have the conversation. And then if I start to feel like we're getting frustrated to the point where we just want to shut down, that I should short-circuit it before it even gets to that point and say, okay, you know, now's not a good time. We'll revisit this later.
Awesome. And so what does that mean in terms of action for you?
I just need to think through before I ask them questions and think through, you know, and he's been tired, sleepy, hungry, or overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's any of those, hungry usually doesn't bother him too much. It bothers me way more than it bothers him. But if he's tired, if he's overwhelmed, if he's sleepy or just, it's not a good time to ask him stuff.
Cool. Awesome.
And I should have known when he kept talking about how much he had to do when we got home. And it's going to be a long night and I won't be able to go to bed at a reasonable time. I should have known from that just to not even ask him anything else.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't sound like it's always hard for you to let go. It's just a matter of kind of keying in to noticing when are the times that it's going to be less effective to try to communicate.
Right.
cool.
Awesome. It's been great catching up with you tonight. It was nice to do just a one-on-one.
Yeah, it was. And I was thinking, I was, you know, after that conversation he and I had today, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I should do laser coaching because this is not working.
Well, the universe responded. Gotta love that.
Yeah, how about that? I do have one question. I intend to try to find him a coach that will work with him while he's in college.
Mm-hmm.
And when I mentioned it to him, he just kind of pushed back saying, well, I don't think I need that.
If he's saying that, then chances are he's not ready yet. And what I usually tell families is that if they don't say, I need help, please help me find somebody, they're not ready and you may not be investing your money well.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, part of it is helping them figure out what other supports are there that aren't officially a coach. So it's kind of like, you know, if you get stuck and you're at college, where do you go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who can you ask? That sort of stuff, and just kind of help them come up with ideas rather than kind of hiring somebody.
Okay.
But I think it's, and who knows, by fall or by October, he may be like, I need help.
Right. Well, that's what I'm going to tell him too. Like, don't, and he knows because we talked, we had they call it Admitted Students Day, and they had like a little fair of the different offices on the campus, and they had the Office of Educational Accessibility. And we got there just in time to talk to the lady, and I asked her about, you know, do they have coaches? Do they have what kind of accommodations and things like that? And she says, well, what they have is they have peer counselors and they have tutors. And the peer counselors are, you know, other kids that have ADD who can help them manage things and help them understand and work with them on, you know, setting schedules and all those things.
That's a part of it. It's just helping him figure out what's there and then, you know, encouraging him when he does notice that he's stuck to say, where do you think you might go to get some help? You know,
and she says, you know, don't wait till the last minute to come and ask for help, you know. As soon as you feel like you need help, come in. And she also mentioned just like regular counselors because, you know, I guess, some kids get there and they end up feeling depressed and, you know, they're away from home. And
well, so part of it is figuring out how you, and maybe that's the conversation the two of you guys have is how will you know, because you won't be there, if he's feeling stuck.
Right.
Because what you don't want him to get to the point where his anxiety is so high that he's not able to ask for help.
Right. Okay. Cool. Well, I'll back off on his coaching stuff because I'll just,
well, and yeah, I mean, it's so hard because you can see so clearly that they need help, but unless they want it, I think it's usually not a great idea to waste your money. It's usually a waste of money, I guess I should say it that way.
Okay.
All right, my dear.
Cool.
Talk to you soon.
All right, thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.